Wait. Sorry. I need to put a pause on this for a second.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry to interrupt you. Did you just say you listen to Taylor Swift while eating oatmeal? Welcome back to the Digital Dive Podcast, a conversation about tech. My name is Darsh. I am one of your hosts.
My name is Jacqueline. I'm your other host. Today, I went to a Spotify event where I felt incredibly energized and inspired by a brand new feature. Kind of got an exclusive first look at that. So we're going to talk about that. As one of the seven things that we actually use on a daily basis, like tech that enhances our life, whether it makes us happier, more productive, or smarter, we're going to be breaking that down in this episode and having a conversation about it.
If you like what you hear this episode, guys, make sure to hit that follow button on both Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and make sure that you get notified of every episode that we put out, and it ultimately helps us get the show out to even more people. Thank you. We really appreciate it. And with that being said, roll the intro.
All right, Darsh, today's a special day for two reasons. First reason, 8-year channel anniversary for Nothing But Tech.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Allison, we add an applause here, please.
Second reason, went to a Spotify event this morning, which I feel like there's so much synergy that it was on the day of the channel anniversary, because I feel like if you told 13-year-old Jacqueline that I'd be going to like a Spotify event to hear about an exclusive new feature and get to meet like so many cool people, I'd be like, what in the actual world is going on right now?
If you told 13-year-old Darsh that I would know someone who was at a Spotify event today, hearing about all these cool new features, he also would be blown away, to be clear. Too clear.
Yeah, well, dude, we're about to hit our 3-year anniversary on the podcast. And I think it's like, I don't know, I'm such a big believer in posting content online as like the catalyst to changing your life. Like, I think about the decision to hit the upload button that first time has changed every single facet of my life in like the work sphere, personal sphere, like experience sphere. Honestly, I think it even like changed my personality. Like, I think going to networking events and stuff so young, like, really made me become like more extroverted and outgoing. So I think like rather than changed, I feel like it unlocked a part of my personality. And I feel like for anyone that posts online, it will unlock a part of your personality to do it. So I'm such a big believer in content creation. This morning was so energizing. And so Darsh and I thought we were planning to do an episode where we talked about like seven things that we use every day. And I was like, this is going to be one of the things, because by the time you're listening to this episode, this feature is slowly rolling out to people. It's called Spotify AI DJ. And we're going to break down what it actually is, how we think it's going to manifest and matter in our lives, and then how we currently, I guess, consume music and podcasts and stuff. Because Spotify is actually our primary platform, like, for both of us.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, Jack and I have had a Spotify blend for the past like year and a half, where it's constantly updating with like both of our music senses like blend together. But with that being said too, yeah, we actually—
Do you know what our blend score is?
Our blend score? No, I think we were at like 60 something percent. Like, we were pretty close, but we weren't super in line.
We need to improve. Like, we need to get to the 99%.
99%? I mean, I don't think I can listen to that much Taylor Swift, but to be fair, maybe that's just me. But for anyone who has been listening and following along the podcast for the past couple of years, because we're hitting almost 3 years now, we actually did do an episode, I believe last year, about how Spotify was planning on implementing more AI opportunity and more AI features into their overall set of feature set that's already available to us. And what I think is extremely interesting is that not only have they already done this through different mixes, like your moody mix or your sad mix or your happy mix or your R&B mix, like all these different mixes that they're providing to you, that's using artificial intelligence to track your music listening history and create this really curated playlist just for you, but rather they're going to be introducing a full AI-based DJ that'll be able to provide you with new, really cool opportunities to find great new music. And as someone who does go about listening and trying to find new music almost on a daily basis, this is extremely exciting.
Yeah, I am also so excited because I use the happy mix or moody mix or like whatever when I need to immediately change my mood. So if I'm going to somewhere where I feel like I need a little bit of extra confidence, I put on a mix that's like feeling myself or like main character energy mix. And I think Spotify has done such a good job over the last like 4 years of personalization. Like, I remember Steve Jobs has a quote where, in your career, sometimes it's hard to see how all the dots connect when you're in it, but it's in looking back that you can see like, oh, this thing happened, which led to this thing, which led to this thing. And I think for Spotify, it's like they started with Discover Weekly, then they did like the Spotify Wrapped, and then they did different mixes based on mood. So it's all kind of been leading up to this point of now we're in the AI moment of launching AI that is taking into account all of this personalization that they've already done prior to understand the user. And then they're leveling it up by having one of the people that actually works at the company, I met him today, voice this AI. And then the AI reacts to your personal music choice and input. So it's saying things that he's never said before, basically using voice technology, and it actually sounds really real. Like, they, at the end of the event, they had me fill out a form where it was like, where I normally listen to music, who I normally listen to, and what I eat for breakfast. And then the DJ says, like,
"What's going on, Jacqueline? I'm X, and from now on, I'm going to be your own personal AI DJ on Spotify. Speaking of AI, you mentioned you're a fan of The Terminator. I'll tell you what, The Terminator and I don't have a lot in common, but at the end of the day, I'm hoping you'd rather have me in your life than The Terminator anyway. While you're sitting in your kitchen enjoying your oatmeal, I'll be playing a lineup of stuff you want to hear. I'm talking Mastermind by Taylor Swift, other stuff you're into, and a lot of new recommendations based on stuff I think you might vibe to. I'm looking forward to sharing it all with you, Jacqueline. I'll see you soon."
Wait. Sorry. I need to put a pause on this for a second.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry to interrupt you. Did you just say you listen to Taylor Swift while eating oatmeal?
I listen to Taylor Swift at all hours of the day.
Sorry. I just think it's just a really fun combination of oatmeal and Taylor Swift.
What do you think would be the most out there combination?
Most out there combination for first thing in the morning? Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say pancakes.
Okay.
And like XXXTentacion, like one of his like really, really aggressive screamo songs.
That's
like
a good one.
Just like something so happy, like pancakes, maybe even with like blueberries and a bacon smile. And then you just hear X just cussing and yelling and screaming about how life sucks and no one's going to get anywhere and all this stuff. I think that would be the most outlandish combination. Definitely more far out from oatmeal and Taylor Swift. But sorry, back from me not judging your music sense, let's jump back into Spotify AI.
Yeah, so it's this guy named X, and he's the first voice of AI. I was actually talking to one of the reps, and I think there's going to be multiple voices because obviously we all have different preferences on types of DJs. But basically, it's using the way that this works, and the reason why it's different than in the past of like just Discover Weekly, is that it's kind of like a station for you. So it's not just playing different music, but it's also, they have a writer's room attached to this where they're keeping an eye on the culture. So they have like cultural experts and pop culture people and musical experts to see what is trending right now, what songs are doing well, what are people talking about, like what's the moment? And then they'll tell you about that too. So you kind of get like the, what you used to get when you listened to like Sirius XM, where you would get commentary plus the music.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Which I think for some people, they'll be like, yes, like, oh, I want this. And I think other people are going to be like, I just want the music experience. I do not want commentary. And for those people, they'll probably be better off listening still to a mix. But I think it's cool. Like the DJ doesn't have to be there all the time. You can kind of, he'll come back every few songs, like every little bit. But if he's playing a song that you hate, or you're just like, let's say you're really in a happy mood and he's playing a sad song, you can actually tap the button at like the bottom of the screen and it will take that as feedback to skip to the next one.
Oh.
But I think a feature they could add is like the thumbs down, because they have the thumbs down right now for other, like, you know, like when you listen to a playlist and the playlist finishes and then it plays other songs after.
Yeah.
And you can like thumbs up or thumbs down. I feel like they should add that to the AI. I think that would be another good indicator for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a ton of really cool ways that they could do this. They could even do AI DJs based on different like stations, almost based on like the moods.
That's cool.
Because they already have all of your mood information. So if you wanted like a happy mix, you wanted a sad mix, you wanted a go to the gym mix, like really get like pump some iron type mix.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like they could build out those into different subsets, but I think this is a great start and I'm really excited for it. Like, I know that for me personally, I listen to a lot of music during my workday and it tends to change based on like what kind of productivity vibe I'm feeling. And so some days I'll go to like a lo-fi beats kind of playlist, or some other days I'll go towards something more hype, something more sad, depending on how I'm feeling. So I think that this could be really good, because I also kind of wanted to start experimenting with podcasts while I was listening to music, because I wanted more of like that almost human interaction, but not. So I think an AI kind of hits that sweet spot for me personally. I don't really want to talk to humans. I'd rather talk to a robot. It just hits home.
Yeah, I think there's also opportunity for them to, I think with podcasting, one of the main problems that needs to be solved is discoverability. And I think there is also an opportunity to have like the AI kind of curate a podcast playlist as well. The thing with podcasts is that there's so much longer form that I think probably the first vehicle to solve discoverability is if Spotify in-house built like a short form discoverability, like a TikTok, but in Spotify, because a lot of podcasters already create clips for their episodes. Because I think it's really hard to get someone to buy into like listening to a 20-minute or 40-minute episode if they don't already know about you or have like word of mouth or something. But if they were able to create like this discoverability, and I don't know if this would be a net positive for society, like it would probably be worse for our attention span. But if they were able to do that and have people like scroll through, then I think that would also help podcasts get discovered and the AI could kind of enhance that. But the thing that I was mainly saying at this event to everyone that I was talking to is like, this feels like one of the first practical uses of AI that we've seen so far. Because I feel like so far, a lot of the AI we've seen has been like proof of concept where it's like oh my gosh, this is genuinely amazing. They can do it. But now I have to figure out ways to use the AI. And I think the most effective AI is the AI that is just going to be working in the background and enhancing our lives.
Oh, absolutely. Like, that was actually a big thing when ChatGPT rolled around in the first place. Like, when OpenAI kind of introduced all of these different AI platforms, the big question that I had was like, okay, these are really, really cool. Even at work, actually, like, I work in an influencer marketing firm, right? So we were thinking about how to implement this within our content production strategy. Like, how would we take maybe like OpenAI to start thinking of different ways that we could promote different products, brands, or whatever it may be. And so with that being said, like, there was this conversation that did come up where it's like, how do we use this in our day to day? But I feel like that kind of a conversation shouldn't need to happen if it's a genuine good product or if it actually has and serves a very good set of use cases.
Agreed.
Like, we as human beings are decent at finding good ways to use different tools, but there's definitely a more efficient and more practical way to use these tools that we aren't thinking of. And kind of having it served to us already makes it just, I feel like, a little bit more, it makes it easier for us to actually see the application and see it actually benefiting our lives. Whereas, like, I actually haven't used ChatGPT yet because I don't have a use for it. Like, I'm just really, not really curious. Like, anything that it comes up with, I'm like, I'd rather just think of it myself. Like, it feels more like me if I can think up the idea. But rather, like, I don't know, it's a little strange in that respect, but maybe that's just me there.
One of my best friends was using it for learning statistics actually recently. And another one of my best friends used it to create her workout routine.
See, that's interesting because with the workout routine comment, right? My issue, so someone who's avid in the gym, there are different ways to efficiently and effectively hit different muscle groups. So when it comes to AI, where do we know or how do we know there is a proper source telling you how to do this? Because I don't want to be extremely, like, if I'm working with my biceps, for example, right? There are three parts of your bicep. There's your short head, your long head, and your brachialis. Now, each different type of workout will hit different parts of the head. So your brachialis gets hit when you do like hammer curls. Normal curls, that'll hit your short head, I believe. And then your long head gets hit by something like a preacher curl or a spider curl. So these three different exercises, although they seem very similar in concept, what they actually do is hit different parts of your muscle. So what I'm curious to see is how AI would be able to effectively show that they are actually helping you be more efficient when it comes to the gym. But I think that that kind of use case can definitely be very, very versatile. Really, really interesting to see how Spotify is just implementing another form of AI into their platform that's just going to help us make our day easier rather than us having to go and try to, at least for me, I have a lot of skepticism behind AI in terms of giving us information because who's going to be there to be their fact checker. But I like this implementation of AI where we are getting more advancements in AI. They are getting better and better and better. And having it actually implemented into a product that I use on a daily basis is incredible and just really, really exciting.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that, like, your issue with ChatGPT is also my issue with ChatGPT and everyone's. It's like, you do not know if the information is coming from a good source. I think that that is the main problem that we're going to have to solve on that end. And I think AI, like, for curation, like Spotify is doing, is actually really practical, makes a lot of sense. Google has been doing it a lot, and YouTube, obviously, for discoverability. So I actually think it's immediately going to become one of the things I use on a daily basis because already Spotify is outside of, like, I would say YouTube and texting, Spotify is like my third most used app because I listen to music literally all day, whether it be on like my daily walks or when I'm getting ready in the morning or before bed. And I also listen to podcasts all the time. And actually, they just signed a licensing deal with one of my favorite podcasts of all time, Anything Goes.
Really? Wow, that's awesome.
Which is crazy. It's by Emma Chamberlain.
Oh, okay. I didn't know Emma Chamberlain had a podcast. Honestly, the weirdest... Okay, this is a little bit of a side tangent. This is, like, there are the weirdest things or the weirdest podcasts that are coming out. Like, I found out that the Toronto Police Department is making a podcast that's not only costing taxpayers $300,000 a year in aggregate, but they're also just creating this podcast for less than 1,000 listeners an episode. And I'm like, yo, that's kind of crazy. Like, the fact that podcasting has become this medium that's so, I guess, futuristic almost. Like, everyone really wants to be a part of it. I know so many people who want to start podcasts. I know so many people who've asked us how we were able to keep our conversations so real and so authentic. Like, I have people complimenting our ability to actually have a conversation on podcast.
That is actually the cutest thing in the world.
But it's crazy because I don't actually think about it.
It's just because we're like the best of friends. I feel like hosting a podcast is something that we're lucky has come more naturally to us because I think it just plays into like our friendship chemistry.
It absolutely does. But with that being said though, I want to jump into the other six things that I use on a daily basis that tend to help me be more productive, smarter, and just help make me happy. And with that being said, I'm gonna start out with my number one on this list, and that's my Google Nest Hub, or it's my general Google Home interface that I've set up when it comes to my smart home. So if you are new to the channel or you're new to the podcast, where have you been? Welcome. Welcome to spam. With that being said, though, I talk a lot about my smart home automations that I've done in my house and even in my apartment when I was still in college. And one of the things that I found extremely interesting when I was there and when I was setting all this up for the first time was Google Nest and the Google Nest Hub that I picked up, as it's become like the centerpiece for my entire home automation when it comes to my Philips Hue lights, as well as my TV. Now, anything that I buy really for my house, I try to make sure that it is Google Home compatible, because it just makes my life so much easier. I literally, before we recorded the podcast, I needed to go get my laptop. I ran upstairs. I went and got my laptop. I told Google to turn on my lights. I told it to turn off my lights. Then I came back downstairs and I was cold. So I told Google to turn on my heater. And then I just came here and warmed up while I was setting up the podcast. Like, so my first one is going to be my Google Home interface and system, because it is just chef's kiss. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, genuinely, I think that that type of automation can change the game. I also use the HomePod, but not for automation, but that's like the Apple equivalent of the Google Home. And I use it mainly just for music listening. And so I think that with the Google Home and Google Nest stuff, I probably honestly am underutilizing it. Like, I probably could use a HomePod for a lot more than I use it for. Like, one of my friends recently like redid a lot of her room with using that and kind of like systematizing, putting her lights on automation, et cetera. Just like you just said, she's like, it's just so fun. Like, I think it does add a little bit of like casual magic to your everyday.
Oh, it does. My brother actually has his entire apartment set up with HomePods. He has two HomePods connected to his TV and he has one HomePod mini at his desk. And he uses all three of them to control his entire apartment. So whether it's the TV or the thermostat or his door lock, like everything is automated now. And it's just really, really cool because you walk in, you feel like you're stepping into the future.
Yeah, and I think it makes you, I don't know, just like appreciate technology and the way it can actually impact your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's your first one. My first one was the HomePod, or I guess really our second one for both of us. My third one is the Oura Ring, which I think I get asked about maybe the most out of everything that I have on a daily basis, because it looks like a normal ring. So a lot of people just compliment the way it looks. And then the second I'm like, oh, it's actually a smart ring, there's a lot of questions I follow. I think the first one is normally like, is it worth it? What does it actually do? How does it work? And so I've worked with them in the past as a sponsor, but this is obviously completely unsponsored. I wear it every single day. The jury's out on like whether you need to track your sleep. I think you obviously do not need to track your sleep, but I think it is a nice luxury want of like, it has period tracking too, which I think is awesome if you're a girl. I know most of our audience is not, like 80%, but for the 20% that's listening that is a girl, the period tracking is wildly accurate. And I think that it's kind of become a trend on social media for a lot of people to actually link their workouts to what part of the cycle they're in. That's like a whole nother conversation, but Oura Ring is focusing a lot on that. And then also it has like heart rate tracking, so like heart rate variability. And the sleep tracking is cool because I think it honestly keeps me accountable, where like, I think for me and for a lot of people, when you're like overwhelmed or have a lot going on, like sleep is normally the first thing to go, but sleep is like the ultimate healant for most things. And it also like protects our longevity. So I actually think it's so important that we prioritize it. And I feel like the Oura Ring definitely kind of reminds me of that on a daily basis.
Absolutely. Yeah, the Oura Ring is actually so sick. I've been wanting to pick one up for so long. It's just that price tag that has me holding back. It's effectively the same price as an Apple Watch SE. And I know that for me personally, I get all of my usage out of my Apple Watch, which is actually my third one for this
killer list as well, transition.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. I try sometimes, you know, it's what I'm feeling like. Yeah, you know, just smooth. I don't know what that voice was.
Anywho, you are smooth.
You guys can't see. I was fully just like, I don't know what that is. Like teeth clacking? Like, I don't know. What does that sound? Like, how do you describe
it? We need to add video podcasts so they can see.
No, literally, because I'm doing it with like a wink face, everything, and I'm pointing at the screen that you're on right now. Anyway, me being weird aside, my Apple Watch is something that I use every single day. I'm a big and very avid gym goer, so I tend to go at least 4 to 5 times a week as of right now. I used to be at 6, definitely not sustainable in the long run, but my Apple Watch has become one of those things that I use on a daily basis to track my workouts, and also just to in general, as I'm going around the house and I don't have to go anywhere, I'll have my Apple Watch on so I don't have to have my phone on me. Makes me more in the moment, actually enjoying time with my family, with my friends. But when I'm out and about, I definitely do wear a normal watch just because I'm a big proponent of normal watches are a huge fashion.
Yeah, you love the fashion. You love the fashion aspect of it.
You have to wear a normal watch for fashion. Like the fact that I went and switched my watch before we were recording this, because after this, I'm going to the gym. Like it's a little annoying having to switch your watch every 5 minutes, but use case wise, it's great. But yeah, my Apple Watch is something that I definitely do use every day, and it helps make my life a little bit more convenient.
I love that. I actually wear an Apple Watch every day as well, even though I use two phones. I have the Apple Watch synced to my iPhone and I love it. It tracks steps, it tracks workouts. And I also just love, like, if I'm going out for the night and my phone dies, I love having the second, like, okay, but I still have the Apple Watch, especially if you have cellular. But I also think, like, Do Not Disturb has become a vital part of my life, because otherwise you can like be kind of a, like tied to your notifications. And another thing that has really helped me is Google Calendar, which is another thing that I use on a daily basis. I am a big time blocking girl. I used to not, and I used to not understand how people were able to use calendars. Like, I was like, I would love to be that person, but I'm just not. And then I would say for the last 2 years, I've kind of become that person where I really like Google Calendar kind of helps me run my life. And I have most things scheduled. Like if it's, I don't schedule free time because I think that that is just not for me. I know it works for some people, but I do use Google Calendar for literally planning out the videos, like what day I'm going to post, when I'm going to edit them, like coordinating the team logistically. I'm like, okay, motion graphics on this day. I use it for my personal life. Like if a friend and I plan dinner, I immediately send them a calendar invite. I use it for the gym, because I think like what we don't prioritize doesn't get done. And so if I put it in my calendar, I'm like much more likely to actually follow through and do it. So I would say Google Calendar has become a really big one for me.
Time blocking is actually huge. There's actually an app. It's called Motion, I believe.
Okay.
I've been seeing ads about it everywhere on Instagram, but it's pretty much like a time blocking app, and it's meant to help you be more productive and help you kind of create this digital layout for time blocking. Cause I know there's a lot of like really successful, like super successful people who sit down in the morning, beginning of their day, time block out their day. And it's extremely, extremely effective. But I definitely think that's a great way to do it. I personally don't use my calendar as much. I use it mostly for work at this point, but what I do use to help my productivity as a whole is my iPad. I bought my iPad in university just to help with taking notes. But since I started working, I actually use it for everything. I have my calendars all synced on there. I have all my emails synced on there. And then on top of that, I also have GoodNotes. And I use GoodNotes every single day to not only take notes in meetings, but also just to write out my action items for the day. So before I finished my day of work today, I sat down, I wrote down my action items for tomorrow morning. So that way, first thing when I log in and get ready to start working, the first thing I do is just do everything that's pressing that I need to get done now. And I have it categorized by priority. With exclamation points indicating how high of a priority it is for me, and then kind of scaling down from there. But my iPad Pro is one of those pieces of tech, similar to, I guess, Google Calendar, that keeps me very productive and very accountable. But speaking of the calendar comment that you did make about the fact that you started using it now to like time block out different things and like make plans with people, I noticed that with every time we try to plan a chat or anything like that, you'd be like, you send me a calendar invite. And this came out of nowhere too. This came out of nowhere. It was like 6 months ago, maybe 8 months ago, something like that. Every time I'd be like, Jacqueline, we need to like sit down, like talk strategy, like sit down, like record the podcast. She's like, yeah, send me a calendar invite. And I was like, oh, like I didn't know we were in corporate right now. Like, okay, cool. I guess I'm a business guy.
I actually do that for literally everyone. Like, because otherwise I think if some things are in the calendar and some things aren't, then it's easy to forget. Like one of my friends said to me, if it's not in the calendar, it doesn't exist. And I feel like, if we don't put it in the calendar, then we're expecting ourselves to remember it. And it's so much easier if you just take that off your list of things to have to remember in your mind, like you outsource it.
No, absolutely.
But
absolutely.
It also makes me laugh because it completely came out of nowhere. Like before this, Darshan and I would be like randomly spontaneous with calls. And then I was like, yeah, would you actually mind sending me a calendar invite for Saturday at 10 a.m.?
Honestly, yo, it works. At least I get a notification to remind me that we have a meeting at 10 a.m. because it's pretty early on a Saturday, man.
My next one is an espresso. I normally drink cold brew coffee, but I have multiple coffees a day. I probably have like 2 to 4 coffees every single day. And so before we always record the podcast, I now make a decaf espresso coffee because I like the taste of coffee, but I don't want the caffeine. So that is my next one. And I think it is also probably your next one. It's some type of coffee machine, right?
Actually, funny enough, it is. So my next one is the Breville Barista Express. Now, I got it from my dad a couple of years ago for Father's Day. My siblings and I did. I'm going to preface that. It wasn't just me. So before they get mad at me for listening to this, if they're listening to this, I don't know. Anyway, it is literally what I use on a daily basis to make my caffeine. And although Jacqueline does not make coffee before the podcast, I do.
You're saying you make caffeine coffee?
I make caffeinated, yeah. Very caffeinated, very, very caffeinated coffee before the podcast. I am heavily caffeinated right now. Anyway, the Breville Barista Express is a great way to make coffee, especially if you're someone who wants to play around with the grind settings and actually like make it more your own. It's really, really cool. It has a built-in burr grinder, and it's just really, really cool machine as a whole. You also get to actually have a pressure gauge to identify whether or not you're really getting proper espresso.
That's sick.
If you are really, really into coffee and you want to be super, super extra like myself, get the Breville Barista Express. Highly recommend.
I love that. It's a really good one. Okay, my next one is ChatGPT, which Darshan and I talked about earlier. I won't dwell on it. I don't think it has like become a ride or die, I must use this every single day type of thing, but I definitely use it sometimes for idea generation. Like for this podcast episode, actually, I put in our previous 10 episodes and I was like, what are some interesting ideas? And it did not say the tech everyday life thing, but it came up with another idea that I thought was actually like relevant, and then it kind of influenced this one. So I don't think it's like revolutionary yet, but I do sometimes find that it's like a nice brainstorming companion.
Oh, absolutely. Honestly, I've been hearing that a lot. A lot of people have been using it for podcasts or YouTube videos. I actually had a buddy who fully had ChatGPT script out an entire episode about ChatGPT, which I thought was a really cool meta kind of mix of using ChatGPT as a whole. But that's awesome.
I love that. That's a good one.
Yeah. The next one for me is actually going to be my headphones. Now, I usually always have a pair of headphones on. I actually own 3 pairs of headphones right now. No one at me. Technically 4 if you consider my first gen AirPod Pros. But anyway, I use the Sony XM4s on a daily basis and my AirPod Pros, the second gens. Those are literally my go-to pair of headphones. It's the best combination. I use them for everything. I use my XM4s if I really need to dial in and get some work done. I use my AirPod Pros usually at the gym. But I've also been using my XM4s a lot with my TV that I recently picked up just because it connects via Roku to the TV so I don't have to disturb anyone at night. And I can watch my television as loud as I'd like. So headphones, huge, huge, every single day piece of tech that I use and I'd highly recommend to you. They're awesome.
Love that. I also use headphones every single day. But the last one that I chose to include on this list is Final Cut Pro. I edit the videos for YouTube. Love editing. It's one of my favorite like highlights of the week every week. And Final Cut is the platform that enables it. And I'm actually working right now on a class about that for Nebula. So stay tuned if you're interested in like how I actually edit and the emotional reasons for why certain edits work and don't work. That's coming hopefully soon. We're currently in like the scripting phase, but that is my last thing on the 7 items of things that I do every single day.
My last item on this 7 list is actually a MacBook. So I finally got a work computer to replace my normal computer because my normal computer is broke. And I mean broke. I can't use any of the keys anymore. It's really, really bad. And Apple also said they might have to change the logic board now. So this computer might just literally be thrown in the trash. Anywho, I've been using the MacBook Pro 16-inch M1 Pro from 2021, and it has been freaking unreal. When I say that this computer has literally changed everything, it has changed everything.
Really?
It's absurd. For one, the notch, I thought I was going to hate it. I love it. The screen, love it. ProMotion on a Mac. Why wasn't this here years ago? The screen itself is also just bright and awesome. The keyboard is tactile and really, really functional. And overall, the computer is so speedy, and I love the heft of it. But yeah, because my MacBook is going in the garbage, this new one has become what I've been using every single day for literally everything. My old one is literally only used now to record the podcast because that's all it's capable of at this point. So yeah, it is absurd. The new MacBooks with the Apple Silicon have changed the game.
What are you going to do when you get your other computer back and you're back to not having that?
Well, honestly, at this point, if Apple can fix my computer to get back to where it was and it's actually usable again, I'm probably gonna sell it. Because I found out that Apple doesn't actually replace the keyboard with the functional keyboard. Like, it actually just gives you a new set of butterfly switches, and that's just gonna break again. So anyone who's on Facebook Marketplace looking for a MacBook Pro with Touch Bar, don't look for mine. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a really solid one actually to end the list off, because I had the similar experience and I also love the MacBook Pro M2. I just reviewed it recently. And one of the things that I liked this week was kind of related to that. And it's a match cut transition. This is like so niche. I hope that a video editor is listening to this and likes it. But basically, match cut transitions, I've been getting more into it. It's where you line up the foreground, like you line up a main key object in 2 different shots. And then you cut in between them. And if you do it right, the object doesn't change, but the background does. So it creates this really immersive, cool effect. So match cut transitions are the first thing that I liked this week.
Damn. Okay, that's pretty cool. My first so one that niche. I liked, it is very niche, but also like as someone who wants to get back into video editing, I'm extremely enticed by this. I really want to check this out now. But my first one for this week, for the sake of time, is The Recruit. It's a new show on Netflix featuring Noah Centineo, and it's about like a CIA lawyer, actually not even an agent, who kind of gets thrown into this entire like messy situation and case, and he has to deal with all these really, really weird hurdles. And I don't know, I kind of like Noah Centineo. I feel like he's a pretty cool guy.
Yeah.
And on camera, he's pretty cool. At least I think he's pretty cool. I've heard he's really annoying, but I thought he's pretty
from
cool.
From who? Who have you my heard
sister,
from?
My sister told me that he's really annoying. I was like, okay, well, I kind of like watching him on screen, so I'm going to watch the new show. And it's actually really, really good. So if you guys haven't seen it yet, I'd highly recommend going to check it out. The first season just came out a couple weeks ago.
Okay, I'm going to check it out and watch it. I've been watching How I Met Your Father. That's my second one for this week.
Oh, how have you liked it?
I like it more for the nostalgia. Oh, actually, you know what? Some of the episodes are really good. I think they're probably still finding their footing, like from a humor element and a writing element. Like, I find some areas are a little cringe, but I think that like being in your 20s is such a relatable experience. And I feel like when you're in your 20s, things could be going equally as well in one moment. And in that moment, you could feel like on top of the world. And then the same stuff could be happening and you could feel like terrible. And like the circumstances haven't changed. I think that like your 20s are amazing, but also tumultuous sometimes. And I feel like that show captures the essence of that really well.
That's actually really, really fair. Honestly, I need to actually sit down and finish it. I've been waiting for the season to finish so I can just binge it all at once. Also, in the first episode and in one of the teasers, there was this like giant cameo that I really want to see.
Yeah.
It's the only reason I want to watch this season at all is to see this one cameo.
Okay, low-key same. That's why I continued watching it.
The first season, the cameo at the end, I didn't know what was happening. And honestly, I didn't really care for it. This season, oh, I want to see this cameo. I want to see it so bad. You have no idea. But with that being said, I'm going to quickly transition into my last stuff I like this week, which is actually this show right now on Netflix as well. It's called Lethal Weapon. It is a TV show based off of a movie. I've actually talked about it before on the podcast. I'm re-binging it right now. It is so, so good. I absolutely loved everything about it. It's a buddy cop show. And it's one of my favorite types of TV shows to watch. So if you guys are like me and enjoy buddy cop television, definitely go check out Lethal Weapon.
Okay, that's a really good solid rec to end this off on. We'll be back next week with more recommendations and another conversation about tech, 7 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Eastern. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Thank you to Adil Constantine for our incredible intro and outro music. We appreciate you. And we appreciate everyone that has listened to the end, like to this point. Truly, you are a gem and it means so much to us that you like the episodes.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for listening. And as Jacqueline said, we'll catch you guys next Monday, 7 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Eastern. Like always, we are back to a weekly schedule. Yes, we are. Cell 5. Sorry, because I was thinking about Barney Stinson. Anyway, with that being said, we'll catch you guys next week, guys. Hope you have an amazing, amazing week ahead of you. And chat soon.
Bye.